Welcome everybody. Welcome all of our Torah Anytime listeners. We're in Parshas Tzav. And in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, it says something very interesting. Zois Torah Ha'Ola. This is the Torah, the laws, the idea of the Ola in the Torah. So when you're speaking about a certain idea, you obviously think that we're going to go in to all the pratim, all the various specifications of that idea. However, if you go further in the Pesukim, it seems to go into other things. It goes into the Trumas Hadeshen, where the ashes of the Oilah are taken, is scooped up, and put on the side of the Mizbeach. It goes into the idea of Tukar Boy. You have the fire on the Mizbeach. And that seems to be the Torah Sa'Oilah. Now, the Torah Sa'Oilah, you would think, is again focused on the specifications of the Oilah. Now, we don't see that's what's happening. We see that there's another focus that happens when we say Zeus Torah Sa'Oilah. This is the idea, specifications, the laws of the Oilah. So, if that's the case, seemingly, we're going to have to understand these things, the Trumas Hadeshen, again, the scooping of the ashes and putting them aside, and as well, the idea of the fire on the Mizbeach, how that's really all part and parcel, the idea, the Torah, the laws, the fact of the Oilah. And if you go on in the Parsha, when you're coming to the ideas of the fire and the Mizbeach, it's a very interesting thing. There's a whole focus on it. The Torah spends a few psukim here discussing this fire and the Mizbeach. It says three times that the Lois Sukkot boy, that the Eish has to be Tamed in Mizbeach, and, sorry, it means Lois Sikbeh, Tukkot boy Lois Sikbeh at the end. So what's the idea that on the Mizbeach we say so many times, Tukaboy, 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 Tamid has to be consistent, and then, Leisichbe, don't put it out. Well, obviously, if you're telling me that I have to keep this fire going, I can't put it out. I have to keep it consistently. What's the Torah's addition? So yes, there's an extra lav, there's this extra prohibition, something telling you, you can't do this, and if you end, chas v'sholom, you end up doing it, loisichbe, you're going to be over an iser. What's the idea of the Torah? What's Hashem trying to tell us? More than just the law, more than just the prohibition, what's the meaning behind it? And what's the meaning behind here in the Torah? How was it such a focus on this fire on the Mizbeach? What exactly is the Torah trying to teach us over here? And if you go into this fire, this flame, a little further, you find something very interesting. And that is that this flame seemingly is unneeded. The Chinuch points out, what do we need this flame for? The flame is going to be necessary automatically with every single carbon. In order to bring a carbon, bring a sacrifice, you're going to need to burn it up. That's what the sacrifice is. If you were just slaughter and eat the meat, that would just be a party. It would be geschmack, and there are some carbonos which we take part of. That's very important. But innately, the idea of the sacrifice, you give it up to Hashem. Before the ideas of the Karban Pesach came along, everyone just did oilos. It was completely to Hashem. It was a chiddush that which you eat from a carbon. The innate reality, idea, and perspective of a carbon is that which I give it over to God. So of course I'm going to be burn it up, send it heavenward. What do I need a specific commandment to go and create a fire in the Mizbeach? The Chinuch says more. He says that's not even a question really, because over here we have a heavenly fire that comes down. The Gemara in Yuma explains that there were five nisim by this fire, and one of them was then it came down like an ari, like a crouching lion. So that's a heavenly fire. If there's a heavenly fire, then why do I need this mitzvah bechlal? Or even from a technical standpoint, I wouldn't need it. From the mitzvah, I wouldn't need it. So what's the idea? Addresses the Chinuch. And more than that, there was three fires. One of them was for the karbonos. That was the big one. There was a smaller one that was for the Keteris. They took it out and brought it to the Keteris. And there was a third one, which is a Machlekes Rishonim. Like everything in Judaism is a Machlekes. That's the Agav. That's the famous, they answered everything in Yiddishkeit. Someone comes and asks you, what day was the Torah given? So, obviously, Shavuos. Oh, it's a Machlekes. Vavar Zayin Sivan. Is there a mitzvah to believe in God? Do you have to believe in God? Now, obviously, the answer is yes. It's counted in the Rambam, not in the Smag. The Ramban makes a machlaikas, whether it's a mitzvah to believe in God or no. I can't give you a mitzvah to believe in something that you don't believe in. Hey, you have to believe in God. Well, I don't believe in God, so I can't have to believe in it. It's a prerequisite, it's a fundamental, it's a start. Either way, the point is everything in Yiddishkeit, kimat, is some level of machlaikas. So now we have machlaikas shoinim, but what is the third fire for? Rashi says in the other fires, maybe wouldn't have enough flame, would come and take from the third fire and give to them. But the Rambam and the Chinuch say no. The fire, the third fire, was just for the mitzvah of Tukad Boy, that you have to create a fire. So what's the inyan of the Torah coming to give me a mitzvah which is just innately for that when it's, in a certain sense, so purposeful? And doubling on top of that, it seems to be even, again, more chas v'shalom pointless, chas v'shalom without understanding a reason, because there was a heavenly fire anyway which came down and would service and burn up the karbanos. So what's all the technical work? Any more technical work, what's the innate mitzvah just to burn that fire when I have that heavenly fire? You go on in the parsha, and we move into a new topic. Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna seemingly are unrelated to this whole part. What's this whole part of, again, we have the Tukad Boy, the Oila, and then we move into Big Day Kahuna, and we in this week's parsha, we bring in the Kayanim and the Levium. So what's the idea here of that we focus and the stress of the Big Day Kahuna? And specifically, if you look at the Avnet, after the Me'il is put on, the first mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to do with Aaron is to put on the Avnet, his belt. Now, we wear belts usually for practical purposes. Now, if you're in general in this whole clothing sig, if you're a big clothing guy, you know, there's Versace, there's Gucci, there's some sort of coat with a moose. There's a lot of different zachin out there which are very clothing focused. And we understand that people have a need to look nice, but how does that have to do with the Parsha? And specifically the belt, I'm saying you get a $300 belt. I've heard of such things. Say I get a $3 belt, maybe a $30 belt on a good day. But other people, they're very into belts. And I don't know really what could be about, like, so special about a belt at $300. I personally can't be masik what's the inyan. But there's some inyan of a $300 belt. So comes along Tyron and says the belt's really important. I have to put on the meal, put on the avnet. What's this whole inyan of the avnet? What's it coming to do? And what's the big dikun in general? And how does that have to do with our parsha? I think we've covered a bunch of divin yanim. Again, what's the idea of the oila connecting to the Truma Sedeshin? What is the idea of the Torah's focus on the fire and the Mizbeach? What's the idea that there's a heavenly fire with this fire? What's the idea of the third fire being completely useless in a certain sense, according to the Rambam and the Chinuch? How does that connect to Big Day Kahuna? And what's the idea of the Avnet? There was a little chazara on all these points. And also within that, what's the idea of Lois Sichbe? You have to have the fire constantly anyway. Of course, you can't put it out. And yes, there's a prohibition. But what's behind that prohibition? There is a beautiful, beautiful story with Rapam. There was once a man who was ill inside of the hospital. And he was from the area where Rapam lived. And he mamash needed chizuk. And I don't know what illness he had, if he had cancer, chas v'shalom, or something else. And he came and he told one of his friends that what would be mechazik him so much, what would change him so much, would be if Rapam, the Gadol Ador, would come to visit him. Now, I think that would be mechazik any of us if a Gadol would come to visit us. However, besides the general challenge of getting a Gadol, who's also a Rosh Hashiva, who's also a Pesek, to come use his time, his efforts for you, for one person, besides that, to travel somewhere, to see you, there's another level of challenge. Rav Pam was a kohen. And unless there's strong reasoning like pikuach nefesh, maybe other reasons, why a kohen would have to go to a hospital? A hospital has dead people in it. A kohen can't be there. So this man who felt that the only thing which he would get a real chizik from was Rav Pam, seemingly, it wasn't relevant. Rav Pam couldn't come. So the man obviously knew this. It was very, very hard for him. He was distraught. The person he was speaking to thought about it. And he said, Rapam is a gadol. He's a big man. I'm just going to call him, and he is going to make a decision for himself. So the man is sitting there the next day, and someone comes to his room and says, do you hear that? He says, what is it? He says, you hear that noise? He says, go to your window. The man opens his window in the hospital room. Six floors down is Rapam. He may have been 70 or 80 at the time. Screaming, hi! The man is jarred. He could barely stand on his feet as it is with his illness. And now Rapam is screaming up. He says, it's so good to see you. How are you feeling? And the man screams back, thank you. Thank you. Rapam says, refuah shalema. Screaming six flights up. Do we understand what this is? This is somebody who looks at an opportunity to help somebody, to connect, to grow, and jumps on it. Rapam could have had all the reasons in the world to go and say, no, I can't do it. I have a million responsibilities. You want me to drive to hospital? Now, you want me to stand outside? Now, that was Rapam's idea. How am I going to give him chizuk? How am I going to do that? I can't go. I can't see him. I can't speak to him. But what I could do is something. I can scream from the bottom floor of the six floors down to his window, and that's going to give him a chizuk. This is somebody who is not living in our world. This is someone who is living nishamadik. What's the klal gadol of the Torah? Says V'hafta l'reicha kamaicha. Rabbi Kiva in the Medrash explains to us the klal gadol of the Torah is loving your brother like yourself. Now, how is that the klal gadol of the Torah? And if you look further on in that Medrash, it says Ben Azai explains Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, which is in Bereishis. It's talking about the neshama. The Toldos Adam is the neshama. How do they shim together? Explains the Mara that the yisoid of the hafta l'reicha kamaicha is being aligned with your neshama. If I live in a way where I perceive this world as just a mask, as just a covering, as a facade, then when I look at every single Jew, I see a neshama. Today, I was thinking about these ideas. I was standing in a minyan full of people, a shtiblach, davening, and there's Hasidim, there's Sephardim, there's Litvaks, there's Americans, there's Israelis. And we can get so caught up in the differences between us. We can get so caught up in our distances. But there's really something which is connecting us, which is bringing us closer, which is a magnetic effect. That's our souls. Our souls are all one and connected. But you don't get there unless you live neshamadik. That's the Midrash explains the Rav. If I live beyond the facade of reality, if I live beyond this world which is a mask, if I live that deeper value, that deeper truth, then I'm living on the higher plane. I'm living on the higher playing field. I'm living truth. I'm living kol hatera kula. If I'm aligned with my neshama, then every single instance which I come to, which I face a challenge in, I'm living my neshama. I will struggle, but ultimately he'll succeed. Sheva yipol tzaddik, become. The tzaddik falls seven times. Seven times is nature. It's within nature for us to struggle. It's within nature for us to have challenge. Come, you get up. How do you get up? If you live with your neshama. If you live with your soul. If you live after yichamocha. This was Rapam. And this has to be our goals. The Chinuch says that the idea that there was a heavenly fire in addition to the fire which we had to kindle, the three fires, was because everything in life, all the miracles Hashem does, there's always some way of masking it. So we have to work through that mask, that challenge, that fakeness, that facade, in order to achieve the greatness, to achieve the miracles, to achieve Hashem's gilui in this world, Hashem's desires, ratzon. By Kriyas Yamsuf, it says there was a wind which came along. You could easily, no. It was the wind. It split the sea. It wasn't God. No, you have to work through that. Don't get trapped. Don't get tricked. Don't get caught up in all the fakeness. Know that it's Hashem. Know that there's something much greater. What's the greatness? What does this fire represent? This fire represents our souls. And what's the greatest trick in the world? The greatest trick, the greatest challenge is the Nachash, which covers up everything, which makes us forget who we are, which makes us forget we are a pure neshama. Originally, Adam and Chava, as the Zohar explains, before the Chet, were shining souls. They lived soul-dik. They lived neshama-dik. They lived a purity. Came along the Nachash and covered it up. His armimus, his trickness, made them arum, naked, where they saw their physical bodies. They weren't with their souls. They weren't aligned anymore in the same way. This is the trick of all of reality. But the truth is, we're a soul. Comes along the Torah and says, Tukad Bo, you have to kindle the fire. There will be a trick, all of reality. Really, you are a soul. You can attribute your life, your nefesh, your life force, to a heart pumping. The heart has electricity in it. Innate electricity. How are we living? Because there's nature. There's reality. There's sequences. Person's born with the heart, which just has this magical electric pump. Where does that come from? Your heart is your soul, is your fire, is your passion, is your flame. And you have to always connect to that. Move past the facade. And where is that from? It's not from the electrical current going through your heart. It's from heaven. It's from above. It's from spirituality. It's from insofius. It's from something beyond. Something that we aren't fully in touch with. And this is what Torah is telling us. Tukad boy, tukad boy, tukad boy. You must always be connected. And there's a trick which you have to work through. You're going to think it's all the physical matters. But that fire you have to kindle is really from above, is really from heaven. This is the Yisrael Chinuch telling us. And why do we have a mitzvah, explains the Chinuch, of just kindling a fire? Chinuch says anything which you put your efforts into, that will have bracha. So he said, the lechem panim. That brings parnasa to the whole world when we do that avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, similarly, this mitzvah of just kindling a fire, which seemingly has no purpose, because there's the small fire for the keter, it's the big fire for the other karbanos. So what's this fire? It's just a mitzvah. And that mitzvah is to kindle your soul, to connect it past the physical world, to know it's not the physical fire, the energy, the atoms moving, string theory, everything's just vibrations going, that you are the same as the table. It's not that. It's a heavenly force, spirituality being poured upon you. The shefa, the abundance, the influences from heaven are always coming down to you. Don't get tricked by the facade of this world. Don't get tricked by this mask. It's from heaven. It's a heavenly fire. It's a lion crouching down. You have the strength of that lion, which was Yehuda, which is every single Jew is a lion. Every single Jew has the strength to rise above. That's who we are. And as Fasemes says, and Chirim says, and many explain that the whole idea of Yehuda, Yehudi, is bihoidal emes, is to go deeper, to go and look in the depth of everything to your soul. That's what we are. That's the crouching lion. That's the neshama. That's the fire. That's the passion. So the hiddenness, the darkness, that just seems like a fire burning in his beach, is really so we can come out with the greatest light. As the Ramchal explains, that all of darkness from the chait of Adam Rishon, from the Nachash, is to give us the greatest light. And as the Baal Tanya explains many, many times, that from the choyshech comes the greatest or. Mitoich the choyshech. From the darkness comes your godless, your greatness. And this is the hiddenness over here with the two fires. You think it's a fire burning which you're kindling? It's really a heavenly fire. You think it's your heart pumping? You think it's the physical world? You think it's your strengths, your energies? It's really a heavenly fire. What is the Torah Sa'ola? The Midrash and the Zohar explain the Torah Sa'ola is hirur halev. It's the bad thoughts which we have. What is the big day kahuna coming to be mechaper on? What is it coming to atone for? Explains the Gemara as well. Hirur halev. What's the connection between the oila and the big day kahuna? They're coming to be mechaper on the thoughts of our hearts, on our challenges, your negativities. There are so many challenges with our thoughts, with our minds, that we can get caught up. You ever wake up and you just feel down? You ever wake up and you have challenge? This is the Nekuda. You have challenges within Hirur HaLev. You have challenges within your heart, your thoughts, your mind. You wake up, you don't feel like that. You don't feel, I just can't do it. I'm just not in the mood. I'm just annoyed. Or opposite. I feel koyach ve'etzim yadi. I feel like I got it all. It's all in my strength. It's all in my power. It's all me. These are the Hirur HaLev. These are the sins which bring us down the most. What is the biggest challenge in our lives? Often ourselves. But it's not us. As the Baal HaTanya explains, it's the Yetzahara coming to be mapil upon us, bad thoughts, negativity, to pull us away from Avodah Hashem. Avodah Zarah, Sitra Achra, it's the other side. Anytime you're having these negative thoughts to take you away, as again, the Sfarim explained, the Torah says, Oila, and the big thing, Kuhuna, are coming to Chabron, that's going to bring you down the most. That's going to be the biggest challenge for you. What's the Avnet? The Avnet explains the Meshech Chochmah. Is to Mechaper and Avoy Dezara. What's Avoy Dezara? The Baal HaTanya explains every Aveira is a Bechina, has a certain aspect, a truth, a connection to Avoy Dezara. Avoy Dezara means I'm serving a foreign thing. Sitra Achra explains Baal HaTanya is the other side. They're all in one place. They're not from the Ein Sofius. They're not from the spirituality. They're not from the positivity of Hashem. They're the other side, the darkness, the blackness, the covers of our world. And this is what the Kohen Gadol does in the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur, in the highest point, in the highest place, in the highest time of the year. The Kohen Gadol is doing one thing. Says the Meshech Chochmah, I'll read his language side. B'yom HaKippur nichnas Kohen Gadol lebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim lehoiros. Why does he go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why does he go into this place where if you have one bad thought, you're dead? Why does he risk it all? To teach us the ultimate lesson. Ki ha-nefesh Yisraeli kishura b'mekor b'mekor nizbara. On that day, he's going in to the Holy of Holies, to the risks of risks, for the highest gain, which is to show Klal Yisrael that we are Keshur B'mekor HaMekor Yisbarach, that we are tied in, one, aligned with Hashem at all times. And therefore, he takes off that Avnit. That Avnit is the Mechaber for Dezara. There's no Avodah Zarah then. Because the greatest Avodah Zarah is the bad thoughts which bring a person astray. And every single sin you do is a Bechina Avodah Zarah, is pulling you away from the light. And your bad thoughts, it says, Hehuri Aveira are Kashem Aveira. The thoughts which you have which are negative are even worse. They bring you down more than the Avira itself in a certain aspect. So every single bad thought is a Bechina, is an aspect, is a reality, is a truth of the ultimate untruth of Avodah Zarah, because it's schlepping you, it's pulling you, it's dragging you down to the other side. And this is what we have to focus on. This is what we have to strive for, the Tukad Boy. The fire which we have from heaven, which we can't get distracted. The Avodah Zarahs, the Hirhuri Alev, the bad thoughts are all coming to drag us down, and we need to lift up to get to that heavenly fire, that crouching Ari, that Jew, which is all of us, the Yehudi. Who is the Jew? Who is the ultimate, quintessential Yehudi? The one who knows the truth. And what is the truth? That you are so powerful, that you have unlimited potential, that you shouldn't get caught up by the tricks of this world. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says over a story that on Yom Kippur we know that everybody comes to shul. You have the reform, the conservative, people who are doing nothing. I know, not religious people. They don't do anything about the whole year. Comes Yom Kippur, they fast. They take part. They have that truth. Why? Out of all the things you got to pick, pick lulav, shake. You know that song, shuckle, shuckle, shake it a little bit. Pick something easier. Tzitzis, tzitzis is easier than fasting for a whole day. Put on tzitzis one moment a day. You pick one of the hardest mitzvahs to go and fast for 24 hours, 25 hours. This is what we pick. Someone asked the Baba Rebbe, what's going on? These people are just faking it. There's one day a year, they get dressed up, they go to shul, they sleep in bed all day, and then they fast. It's all a hocus pocus, it's a show, it's a fake. The Baba Rebbe said that really, Yom Kippur is the day of the neshama. Yom Kippur is the day where the Kohen Gadol walks in to Kodesh Kedashim and shows that we are aligned 100% with Hashem. The rest of the year is the fake. The rest of the year is an untruth. The greatest truth is when a person lives with his neshama, when he lives with reality, when he lives this truth. And this is a lesson that we have to think about over and over and over. Wake up every day, Moida ani lefanecha, that you gave me back my soul. The first thing we proclaim is that we are souls. Because this is the ultimate challenge of reality. And this is the Torah stress. Focus on your soul and you will get shefa, and it explains the chinuch. You will get shefa in that fire. You will have that unbelievable eish, passion. But you got to focus on it. You got to not let the avodah zarah come and get you. That's all distraction world. This is the oila. We burn the oila. With what? The tukad boy. With our efforts, our focus on our souls. When we focus on our souls, then we will be able to burn all the machshavas ra'as. Every single time a bad thought comes to you, every single time you have a challenge, what should you do? With every bad thought, you think, I am a neshama. I am holy. I am powerful. I am good. And be aligned with your true self. Be aligned with your positivity. Be aligned with the true reality of spirituality. Then you will be able to beat any challenge, any difficulty, any pain, any darkness, if you just align with your soul. This is what we have to focus on. And if we do this, if we say Moida Ani, and know that we're a soul, that we're true, we're real, we're good, you'll be able to overcome any challenge. You'll be able to climb to the highest heights. Don't get caught up in the negativity. Don't get caught up in the darkness. Live neshamadik. The oila is burned. These bad thoughts are burned by our fire. And then we have left over the ashes. You could think, oh, still, I'm not good. I did have those thoughts. I beat it. I had mine. I lived in Shama Dick. I lived with my soul. I peeled back the mask of reality. But I still have them coming all the time. And we take those ashes, those challenges, and we put them aside of the Mizbeach. The Mefarshim explain, Sfas Emes and others, that the idea of those ashes are that all your challenges, all your difficulties, all your sorrows, they are part of the journey. They are the avodah. They are what make you great. What allows that fire, that heavenly fire, that physical fire to interact with the carbon? The challenges, the relev. That's the carbon. That's what we're giving over to Hashem, our challenges. And don't forget it. Take those ashes and put them next to you. Keep your challenges with you to know that they are ultimately servicing you. Don't let them get you down. Bring yourself up. Put them on the side of Mizbeach. We must always live with the right mindset. The ultimate goal of the Yitzhahara is to pull us away to Avodah Zarah, to pull us away to Hira Leiv. Every Aveira, every bad thought, the Hira Aveira are all that Avodah Zarah. And we need to know, like the Kohen Gadol goes in to the Kodesh Kedashim, and we are connected, like Hashaka to a mikvah, that when you connect the unkosher waters to the kosher waters, it all becomes kosher. It all becomes tar. It all becomes holy. Let's purify ourselves. Let's connect to our souls. Let's live our true selves. Let's not get caught up in all the darkness, all the challenge, all difficulty. Let's live on a higher playing field. Be'ez Hashem, we should all mechazik in this, and we'll overcome every single challenge. Have an amazing